everybody. Welcome to another week of the Soccer Thread Podcast. I'm Dan Schrader. I'm in Portland, Oregon. I'm back from the things that I was doing last weekend and not feeling really great.
Listen, you look great. You don't sound great, though.
I went and spent time with four toddlers between the ages of 1.5 and 3.5 from three different daycares.
Oh, that'll
three
get
different
you.
States. And guess what?
It's a lot of
colds. It's a lot of germs.
It's a lot of different germs from a lot of and different states.
Just for good measure, one of the adults also brought a stomach flu, which I'm pretty sure I don't have, but maybe these colds, these other state toddler colds are crazy.
Are you the only adult in your house right now that has a cold?
My wife is at a low level cold.
Okay.
But I, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm definitely the worst off.
Yeah, you don't sound good.
I'm struggling.
At least you're still drinking beer.
Sorry, listeners.
Hey, alcohol kills germs.
I know that this beer is
it's sanitary for me to drink, right? Isn't that what the Trappists were all about?
You got to start drinking that 70%.
I'm in a house full of doctors, and that checks out.
Yep. That's it. So that's me. Luckily, we got Cliff editing this week, so this you probably listener won't even be able to tell because I'm going to sound so good because Cliff's going to make me.
Cliff, he's back, baby.
He's going to straighten it out.
He's back like the Spurs are back.
Ryan Palmer is not in the Beaverton podcast studio.
He's not.
Old stomping grounds.
Yeah, I'm in the 312 studios right now, visiting some family for Thanksgiving. So happy to be here. Speaking of beer, I think that I've drank all of the beer in this house. So it's a little embarrassing.
I don't think that's hard.
That happened to me.
I mean, I was sick all week and I did that.
I visited Mike's parents one time. Mike was not there and I was coming for like 5 or 6 days and they bought me a 6-pack of beer and I drank it in, you know, a night or two.
Yeah.
I was like 19 at the time I was like 21. And and they were like, wow, he drinks a lot. And I drank them out of beer.
Yeah. There was I believe that there was maybe a 12-pack. Of some Revolution beer that I've not had before that was
brought for
Thanksgiving dinner. And, the next day it was gone the next day. And I think the look of shock on my brother-in-law's face when I said that the beer was gone was a little embarrassing on my part. I need to do better.
I'm surprised that's coming from the brother-in-law and not like the mother.
Father-in-law, yeah.
Right.
I know. I need to do better.
Do you, son. Do you.
Yeah. To be fair, it was like a session pale ale. So it was like...
Did you explain that to them?
It was like 3.5% alcohol. So it wasn't like...
I sessioned it. I did a session. Colin Smith is in not even the first shed, but the second shed.
That's
in
right.
The swamp.
I'm in auxiliary shed B out here in the swamp. Hopefully finding a new home for my nighttime podcasts. Like Dan, I'm dealing with toddler illnesses. My son has been sick all week. So we did not get to go to New York for Thanksgiving, which is a blessing and a curse. Got to miss the Boston to New York traffic. Wednesday in the rain, which is a blessing, but didn't get to see the fam, which of course is you know the whole point of Thanksgiving. So it's been a bit of a lamer Thanksgiving, just my wife and I and the kid around the house. So it's a beautiful thing to be able to share this weekend with you and all our listeners as well. I'm thankful for all of you.
Does your sailboat not get internet? Why haven't we potted from the sailboat yet?
This is a good question. actually, I take my yacht out of the water. During the winter time,
fair.
You know,
Between Labor Day and Memorial Day.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. I also take the lobster traps out, all that kind of stuff just goes into storage. So
that's fair.
The club's only a few blocks away, right? You could just be down at the club, couldn't you?
I mean, I could go to the club tonight and pod from the club, but the club is bumping. I mean, there's probably a bunch of 50 and 60 year olds, sitting around the bar, complaining about
shoes.
Boston, sports right now. Because that's the scene, baby. That's the scene at the Yacht Club. Mm-hmm. It's
on the pod.
Yeah. So Did I consider potting from the function room at the yacht club today? Yes. Yes, I did. But I thought it'd be loud. So.
So Colin has an intro game. He has not told Palmer or I or me what it is. So, Colin, it's on you.
I'm going to try to take advantage of your sickness, Dan.
I'm going to be slow.
So this is duly inspired by a Palmer's intro game last week, which I thought was cut that out, Cliff. Ooh, let me get some sniffles in there too.
That'll be a good one. Oh God.
This is inspired by Palmer's game last week, which we all had to name the most appearances of a player under a certain manager. So I'm taking that up one level since the news this week is, again, in managers. We're going to stick with managers. So it will be in the Premier League era. I'm going to give you a club, and you're going to tell me the manager who won the most games for that club in the Premier League era.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We're going to be bad at this.
Yeah, we're going to be really bad at this.
I'm only going to give you big clubs.
Okay.
And I'm not going to give you, Manchester United or Arsenal, since those ones are too easy.
Well, those are the ones that I would have gotten. So,
what other big clubs are there?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna give you the other. I'm gonna give you other big clubs. You know, I'm not gonna give you Norwich City. And the way this works is, I give it to one person first. If they get it, they don't necessarily win. If the other person gets second, then the first person who got the first, has to respond by getting third. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I see. I got
second
you.
Will actually be harder than first. All right. Anyway, let's start it off with Manchester City. I'll give that to Ryan Timothy Palmer.
Most wins
at Manchester City in the Premier League era.
Manchester City in the Premier League era.
That's correct.
Let me say Manuel Pellegrini.
That's third place. Pellegrini with 100 wins. Daniel Schrader.
Oh, really? That's it?
Mark Hughes.
Mark Hughes has 31 wins. First place, Pep Guardiola. Second place, Roberto Mancini.
I didn't think Pep had been there long enough to get 100. Because he's only been there 2.5 seasons.
All right. Okay.
Damn.
I should say these win totals are total games, not just Premier League games. But it would not matter.
That's,
Mark Hughes has 31. I think Pep won more than that last year.
Well,
I'm counting all competitions for Mark Hughes. The rules are the same for each of these managers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So did I win that?
You did. Palmer, you're up 1-0.
There we go.
And for that reason, we're going to have to, we got to try to get Dan some points. So we're going to give Dan Tottenham.
Poch.
Yes, Poch. 159 wins. Palmer, who's second place in Tottenham's list?
Airy.
That's correct. Airy Redknapp on 98. Dan, if you can get third on Tottenham's list, A, I will be very, very impressed. But B, you will be responding a fire and win this category.
I don't think I'm going to get it.
I can't even think. Tim Sherwood.
AVB? AVB.
AVB is fourth with 44.
Mm. So Tim Sherwood was third then.
Martin Yole, third with 67.
Yeah, I would not have. Yep.
All right.
That's a good he managed like Fulham for a while too, didn't he?
Yeah. And somewhere else. All right. Let's go to Liverpool.
Okay.
Palmer.
Liverpool. Rafa Benitez.
That's correct. Palmer, you're fucking good at this game. Look at you.
Thank you. Thank you.
194. Dan, you got to get what's second?
Klopp. Ooh.
Klopp with 135. Very good. You guys are not bad at this.
Klopp Palmer. With 135.
Palmer, what's third for Liverpool?
Oh man. I don't know. King Kenny Dalglish.
Oh, yeah, Palmer.
Yes.
You let us down.
Is it Brodge?
It's Brodge. 83.
Daglish had some early, Daglish has been in there a few times though. Caretaker, I like that.
But most of them were pre-Premier League era. His run was pre-Premier League.
Oh.
All right. So tough break for Palms there. The beat goes on to the one with all the managers. We can go down this list to like number 10 if you guys keep answering back and forth. It's Chelsea.
Oh, man.
Who's first?
You are, Dan.
Mourinho.
That's correct. 204.
Mourinho is number one.
Yes.
With 204.
Yes.
Palmer,
I'll be, yeah.
Carlo Ancelotti.
Carlo Ancelotti is fifth.
Ooh.
It's 67.
Wow.
Dan, can you tell me who's number two?
No, probably maybe Hiddink.
Ooh, that's
Hiddink
a good shout.
Is 10th.
Ooh, way down.
No, I'm sorry. He is eighth. Eighth. He has two appearances, 16 and 10.
Two stints, yeah.
In two different sets.
Short, both short.
Both very short, yeah. Number two is
Roberto Di Matteo.
Di Matteo is ninth with 24.
Yeah, he had a short spell there.
I mean, there's so many names on this, right?
There are so many.
AVB is in there. Scolari.
AVB is on there.
Rafa
the
Benitez.
Project.
Avram Grant.
Conte.
Gianluca Vialli. Yeah. All these guys have less wins at Chelsea than Claudio Ranieri with 107.
The Tinkerer.
The Tinkerer.
Throwing it back a little bit.
Yeah. There you go. Two each. After getting off to a big lead, 2-0, Palmer blows it. Late, just like Spurs. There you go.
Well, we like
nice
to score
draw.
Three goals.
Nice little draw.
I'll take this road point. This is definitely not my home.
It's the flu game for me, really. It's the cold game.
Amazing comeback.
Yep. Let's talk a little Premier League, unless you got, anything else there. Intro stuff.
That's it, baby.
Big news this week, Unai Emery out at Arsenal after the worst run in 27 years for the club. 55% wins. Wenger had 57%. He's out. And Freddie Ljungberg, MLS legend, is in. Caretaker, it looks like through the end of the year, although I'm not sure that's confirmed.
Yeah, I don't think that's confirmed, yeah.
Emery out.
I think that this is just so funny. I mean, it's just like the rumors that Jose was going to coach or manage at Arsenal were rumors for weeks, right? And they stuck with it. Months, yeah. They stuck with it. Jose even said, I would love to manage at Arsenal, right?
I would take that job. And that's the come get me plea.
Yeah, they stuck with Unai Emery. They stuck with him. I mean, they had players walking off the field, taking their captain bands off and their jerseys off, right? Like, it was just like, it's an absolute mess. Spurs fire Pochettino and within minutes hire Jose Mourinho. I think on last week's pod, I said that it almost just feels like Spurs are trolling Arsenal by hiring Mourinho. And this even feels even more like this is a victory for Spurs. Huge. This is hilarious.
It's definitely part that, but Colin last week also said Spurs saw that the manager they wanted was available, so they made the move.
Right.
And Arsenal did not.
Yeah.
Arsenal have been looking at this for months. Tottenham did their business without any leaks. Nobody knew about
hours.
It. And it was done in 40 hours between
This is, I mean, you got to give Dan Levy credit for this kind of stuff. Like we shit on him sometimes for like not paying people or whatever, but the man does his business. I think he's one of the better executives around for this kind of stuff.
Oh, wow. That is a hot take.
I mean,
where's Matt Bergeron where we can get him on this pod right now?
I just mean that I'm not saying that he's great and perfect, but I just mean there's so many clubs, even at the top levels, that seem like they just like this. They're just so mismanaged or like, what are you doing? What are you doing firing him the week after the guy who you wanted like just left? Like, And now are they should be if they're like they should be doing what Spurs did. Get the next guy in. Who's the next guy? Do they have him ready?
Right, no. Exactly.
They have the guy who's only managed at U23s. That's who they're going to put up there? Okay, good idea. Like, good luck. You know, like, don't do that. That's stupid. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. It's bizarre. I mean, you're right. And I think, you know, Dan, you mentioned this, and Colin, you said it last week, is that Spurs knew who they wanted, and that person was available, and they made the move. And, you know, Arsenal sat on it for months and months and let reports come out that Jose was, you know, willing to manage Arsenal and how funny that would be. And then boom, within minutes, it's gone. That's off the table. And then Emery goes in the midweek, loses away to, I don't even know who, in the Europa League. And I think his comment after the game was, well, we improved from the last time. And then he's fired the next day.
You get to say that in the first month of your tenure. You don't get to say that 2.5 years in or whatever he is.
Right.
I mean, a lot. Yeah. Also,
you're not still building your project. Come on.
Yeah, I feel like there's been a lot of rumblings around Arsenal. I feel like, okay, so I guess my theory is also that a lot of the guys who hang on at clubs for a long time are good at maybe Klinsmann is not good at this, but they're good at like the media manipulation to be like, oh, we're having bad results right now, but here's why. Let me tell you about the project, and let me tell you about this thing, this extenuating circumstance, and it's because we're trying to play this way and whatever, and kind of shielding their players, and Mourinho does, and all this kind of like media maneuvering. And Unai Emery doesn't do any of that. Like, he just comes out and says like dumb things that half make sense, and you know, there's no like, he's not like, he hasn't constructed a narrative around this club, I guess is what I'm saying. Whereas Wenger always had a narrative for the media to like latch onto in a way. Like, oh, maybe it might be injuries this year or whatever. Maybe it's that the race for, well, we're really only racing for fourth place or whatever. And we make fun of some of them, but they kept him in a job a lot of times, and otherwise he might get sacked. And Emery is not a media manipulator. And he hasn't made an identity out of this club since Wenger. Like, what's their, like, who are they kind of thing is like, I mean, I guess Aubameyang is a good signing and Lacazette is a good signing. They can score goals, but they can't defend. But like, I don't know. They don't seem to have, I mean, it's night and day compared to right. Like Pep and Klopp, who have come in and like really made those teams theirs.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
even if the results weren't there, like,
what was Emery's identity anyway, right? He came from what, PSG? Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest thing that we could learn from PSG is that they kind of choked on the world stage,
he was
right?
Like, before that, he was a like three-time Europa League winner with Sevilla, you know, and his identity there was kind of like overachieving, hardworking kind of style.
I mean, three-time Europa League winner with Sevilla. So his
he's got Arsenal right at that level.
Like, that's exactly there's their identity, right? I mean,
no, it's this. Don't get me wrong. This all sets up very well for you, Palmer. I would be loving this.
I'm very happy about this. I'm Pep Guardiola very happy.
Two questions. What are the chances that they contacted Thierry Henry and tried to get him after he had been announced as Montreal's next manager, but before he had managed a game?
Oh, I think they're talking to Thierry Henry as we speak. Thierry Henry.
You think so?
Thierry Henry is in his auxiliary shed C right now in Montreal.
It's a chateau. It's not a shed.
Yeah. His is real nice. There's a bug in here. He doesn't have
You think that
his.
That's the move?
I don't Henry think so. Is the move I don't for think Arsenal? They're trying to get Henry, but I think they're talking to Henry. They want to figure it out. They want to see what his interest is. Would he take the job just for 6 months the rest of the season and then have it be like a rent to buy kind of situation, right? If you could get him that, like, would you would try take that, right?
Premier League's poaching managers now from the MLS.
Well, Henry's better than Ljungberg has managed Arsenal U-23s. Henry managed Monaco. Like, I mean, that's a real club.
Yeah, but he didn't do too well there.
He was shit there. He had shit players and was shit there. It doesn't really tell you too much about him as a manager. I mean, I think he's, I don't know, probably not a great manager just by the like likelihood of most people aren't. Yeah. But you know, I do think that they, if they could get him in on the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer deal, like they would probably do it.
Yeah. So that's my next question. What are the chances that Ljungberg goes the Ole Gunnar route and gets a little bit of a bump just because he's maybe man managing, maybe the guys have respect for him, maybe just because he's not Emery, they go on a little run. All of a sudden, Ozil looks like he's having fun again, whatever, all this stuff. And then they give Ljungberg the permanent deal at the end of the year. What are the chances that that's what happens here? They do the Manchester United.
I mean, I think they
Palmer's
they have
dream scenario, by the way.
It's, I mean, I would love it. I would absolutely love it. But they have like they have that case study in Manchester
exactly,
already.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. But
the Harvard Business Review of how not to handle this exact situation.
But of course it's Arsenal, so they'll probably do it. Yeah, they'll probably do it.
I'll put the chances like at 20%. But God, I hope it happens. I fucking hope it happens.
I mean, why aren't we talking about Pochettino managing at Arsenal?
That's,
why isn't that
to me? Cool? To me, that's the most likely candidate right now.
You think so? There's no way.
There's way, no way. Dude. Way, way.
He's going to. He's going
within
to United.
Weeks. That would be rough.
He's going where?
I mean, he's going to United if he goes anywhere.
That job's not open. What are you talking about?
It's gonna be. It's gonna be.
A job will be open.
How much more is he going to get paid at United than Arsenal? Not a lot. I mean, some, yeah. But not a lot.
Yeah.
Tottenham get a win 3-2 over Bournemouth at home. This was Mourinho's first home game or first home league?
First game? Home league game. They played in the midweek in Champions League at home and won 4-2.
Okay, so two wins at home. That's a good way to start in front of your home fans. Run order says, lovely first goal. So cute.
I didn't put this run order together, but it was the first goal.
Was it not cute? Was it not?
I can't even remember the first goal. Was it the long? It was a long ball to Son who laid it off to Dele and
yeah.
I mean, it was. It's definitely the thing that I'm seeing with this team with under Mourinho right now is that long balls are like the thing right now. Everything that they're not messing around with the ball at the back. They're not trying to play out of things. There's no short like tiki taka ball. Everything is kind of route one right now, and Dele Alli is loving it. They look good.
Lockdown. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I just thought it was cute because it's kind of like a unique kind of goal in a way. Like most of the time when you see that route one ball, either it's taken down by somebody on the head or the chest or something like that. Yeah. Or that guy is taking it to the, like if it's out in front of him, like this ball was for Son, he's scoring. He's shooting it, whatever. He might take a touch to settle it, but he's then going to hit it. But instead he like takes his touch right into Dele's path and it goes,
but
it's like bing, bing. Yeah. This kind of like, just bang bang nature that's, of it was like pretty cool. It's kind of like
that's my
video game.
That's my question about this goal is that
is it a did you mean it situation?
Yeah, did he mean it? Like did it, that assist? Did he actually mean the assist? Because
I think
it definitely looked like he's trying to bring that ball down to settle it, and then Dele runs onto it. It's very similar to like the Lucas Moura goal in Amsterdam where Dele maybe half passed it to Lucas Moura and he just kind of ran onto it, took it off his foot.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this goal looked like, yeah.
But this like bang bang one timer nature is something you like. It's pretty cool. I don't know.
It was nice. It was definitely nice. Yeah.
Are they playing that way because Mourinho does not trust your center backs to have the ball at their feet?
I mean, I have no idea. But that's the thing that I've noticed. There's more long balls with this, the way that they've set up than I've seen in like under Pochettino. I have no idea.
Hugo but like gets back there in net. He'll be dabbling around with the ball.
Yeah. But I think that we have somebody, you know, Toby Alderweireld can strike a great long ball. Like he can put a ball on somebody's foot. And I think that that's a weapon that I think in years past we saw, he was able to kind of open up defenses with a nice long diagonal ball or something.
Yeah.
And put it on Dele's foot, and that's when Dele was the most kind of active earlier, you know, a couple years ago. So maybe Mourinho's trying to utilize that, because Alderweireld can definitely hit a nice long ball and pick out a pass.
Harry, Dele, and Son are all big boys, and they're all willing runners. They all make a lot of runs.
Yep.
So those three guys, if you're talking about guys to be able to, hit these balls too, you have good receivers, so to speak.
Mourinho with a fist bump to the ball boy. Is this another ball boy incident?
Games in a row? It's the same. It's the same one.
The same ball boy, but two games in a row.
Yeah. So in the midweek, if no one saw this, Spurs were losing to Olympiacos in the second half. Mourinho pulled Eric Dier off after 29 minutes on the pitch, which he later apologized for doing that to Eric Dier, which Mourinho just being Mourinho. But Spurs made kind of a rampant comeback in the second half. They looked really good. One of the goals was because the quick thinking of a ball boy that quickly got a ball back into play so that Spurs could take a quick throw in, which ultimately led to a goal. Mourinho came over to the ball boy, gave him a big hug. The ball boy was then obviously narrative abound here. The ball boy was quoted in the newspaper as saying something along the lines of Mourinho like made his life and just like made him feel so special or whatever. And now
the ball boy in for like the pregame meal.
It's the same kid, right? So this weekend they brought him in for the pregame meal. There was like media about this kid. He was like walking around with the team doing the pregame walk and stuff. And then Mourinho was said
a lot.
It is so much. And then Mourinho said that he enjoyed it so much that he is going to bring in a ball boy, a girl every home game like this to have a pregame meal and all that stuff. He's going to make this a tradition. So this it's just classic early stages Mourinho,
Totally.
Yeah.
I like it though. I mean, I like that a lot.
I don't mind it.
As a tradition, it's great.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's good.
Yeah.
Whatever. But yeah, it's early stage.
It was a cheeky little fist bump after that first goal. It was really kind of just, Mourinho knows what he is doing. He knows what he's doing. And this poor kid's getting used.
Remember when I was saying Unai Emery doesn't know how to like work the media and like make narrative?
Yep.
Yeah. This is let the master work.
Take notes, Unai. Yeah.
Colin, what's the buddy comedy going to be about between Mourinho and the ball boy?
I feel like for some reason I like this kid studying abroad in Italy, and Mourinho is like teaching him how to make pasta. I feel like that's
pasta.
Mourinho's playing a chef in this situation. It's a movie.
Okay. Okay.
I just feel like that's where
it's
we're
a bit
going
of a like Julia. Is that that movie?
I'm calling this one specialist inbounds.
Ooh. Joe and Jose. What's the ball boy's name?
Callum? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Dele with a goal and an assist in this one. He's seems to be back in the plans, whatever. Jose doing a little chest poking and a little bants, and he's back.
Yeah. He's definitely back. The run order says, when can we start saying that he hated Poch and stopped trying?
Last year,
I think that we're digging for narrative here, but I just think that Pochettino or Mourinho is just using Dele a lot different than Pochettino did. I think Dele, he's essentially given the keys to the team to Dele, and Eriksen's not starting. Dele's playing the classic number 10 role, which is just a different role that Dele had under Pochettino. So he's definitely thriving under this role for sure.
Yeah. Eriksen gone in January.
It's a little surprising to me that Mourinho hasn't done more to try to bring Eriksen back in and salvage that.
Yeah, I mean, he gave him the start in the Champions League game this week. So I don't know. I mean, maybe he doesn't even want to deal with it.
Yeah. He's certainly done stuff like that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
City go away to Newcastle and drop 2 points. Ends up being 2-2. I mean, we've been saying title race has been over. This really seems like it's got to be it. Just for proof.
I mean, Liverpool's 11 points ahead now. And City can't go and win against a Newcastle team that's not very good. Yeah, it's not good. I think it's over.
Yeah. We saw the soft underbelly of City here. Definitely.
Yeah. I completely agree. Defensively, they're definitely in shambles. But you know, the title race, Manchester City is no longer in the title race. Let's say that. Maybe Leicester can push Liverpool.
Yeah. that's where we're at now. That's where we're at. Yep.
Yep.
That's basically true. I mean, like, this Man City team is like Liverpool, 2 years ago under Klopp? Right, where they had like no D and they just tried to win games 4-3.
Yeah.
And that works for a while, but you're not going to be the best team in the league doing that.
Yeah.
You're a good team. Don't get me wrong. You can win cup competitions. You're going to beat Everton, but you're not going to win the league.
Did you guys see the KDB goal?
Oh, did you? Oh.
I feel like this goal might be, I don't know if it was one of Mike's favorite kind of goals, the goal that hits under the crossbar and bounces and doesn't hit the back of the net. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he absolutely smashed this goal, too.
Yeah.
Smashed it.
Yeah, he didn't take anything off it.
Yeah. But it also, at the same time, it wasn't there's an extra degree of difficulty where it's not like there's no defender and he's just like lining up with the world in front of him and go ahead and hit it as hard as you want. Like, there's a defender coming and he almost has to take it a little early, like ball a little higher than he would have let it drop a little farther to the ground. Absolutely, unbelievably world, great goal by KDB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shelvey equalizes late in injury time, I think.
Yep.
City naive to drop these points?
I think naive so. Defending. Yeah, definitely naive defending. It was a set piece that they just stopped defending. Quick set piece. Shelvey's left wide open.
I don't even know if it was quick. It was just like they all were defending the line of guys who are going to go for a header. And Shelvey's in that like second tier or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like where it's like, oh, I'm gonna clean up the garbage of this header. But they just passed it to him right away. And John Joe Shelvey's always had the shot from there. Like, there's a lot of deficiency in his game, but. In doing
he's a shot from 30.
Yeah, exactly. A shot from 18 to 30 range is like his best talent. So, yeah, very naive, I thought.
Christian Pulisic gets a start for Chelsea, and they go to West Ham and lose 1-0. So they're also not looking like they're going to mount a cheeky title race, although they were, you know, right in there with Leicester and City last week. No email from George after you guys went hard on him last week.
Yeah, nothing.
Now they get a goal or a win. I think, George, come on, man. Come on, where are you?
Maybe he learns. Every time he sends an email, they lose. So,
come on, George. We miss you.
The God did have a couple of chances. He was involved, got kind of moved up to the striker position late on. Bad performance overall, but maybe he's a bright spot for the team.
I mean, to me, it was like, to be fair, I only watched these highlights, but it seemed like they were depending on him to, you know, bring any attacking quality in the final third, like to be the guy who breaks down the defense. And he gave it his best shot, was unsuccessful. That's still a deficiency in his game. Pedro was pulled off in the 62nd or something like that, and Mason Mount came on for him and didn't do anything. Did he come on for him? I can't remember. But nobody else did anything either. So it's not. I wouldn't. You know, from my selfish US fan perspective, I'm not like worried that he had a bad game and he couldn't break down this defense, he's going to lose his starting spot because of this.
Yeah. I saw some interesting tweets, I think today, about how U.S. men's national team fans are like kind of over Christian Pulisic already, or like don't realize how much of a world star he is becoming. And that like national team fans still get more excited by some third division, German Bundesliga 17-year-old than they are about this guy that's knocking in goals for one of the biggest clubs in the world. Is there any truth to that?
No.
Yes. Yes, there's truth to that. Yes, come there's definitely on. Truth to that. I mean,
you're saying
I don't think this podcast is very guilty of that.
Okay.
But there is definitely a section of Twitter where they still like people will still like post this dude in the Danish Superliga. He's only 18 and he's like just got a goal for this. And it's like, dude, that dude's never going to make the national team anymore.
Yeah. Like, but those are, listen, that corner of Twitter is the corner of Twitter that wants to be like, I discovered this guy. Like, yes, I've been talking about him for years, right? Yes. So they're just going to try to feed you these guys playing in the Danish Superliga or whatever they play in.
And that tweet on record.
Yeah. And then, you know, make sure that if they ever make a start for the team, they'll be like, finally that people see what I saw for years. Yeah. Come on.
That's true. You're right.
We're not over Christian Pulisic. We know that he is the god.
My, you know, I love my boo, Mike Samuelson, but you know, he is the only one on this podcast I would accuse of that.
Because that's
been saying that Tyler Adams is the best player in the pool and all this stuff, which
that's true.
You know, I think Christian's proven that that's not the case right now. I mean, it could be the case in 5 years. I don't know, but right now,
Mike's not here to defend himself.
That's when I like to take my shots. You know, I'm not a man of honor.
Maybe if anything, having this like clear top talent on the team. The U.S. men's national team, that is, really makes it more obvious to me that the second tier is lacking. That there's not, like, he can't play as well for the U.S. men's national team because there's no support, because the players aren't there to be able to use him appropriately, because the drop-off from starting and scoring goals for Chelsea to, you know, whatever else we have to, like, Galaxy starter in, you know, Leggett.
Yeah.
It's like it's too big.
Yeah.
It's huge.
So
it's
maybe
huge.
That's why there's still interest in the 18-year-old from Denmark, because I mean, maybe he can be a European professional instead of a 27-year-old MLS journeyman.
Yeah, yeah. I get that. But at the same time, I think on the US men's national team, this is a boring take, but to get better, what we need to do also is to have consistent performances from some of our guys who do play at the higher level. So that means, you know, the number one I'm looking at is Weston McKennie. He's had some nice performances in the U.S. men's national team shirt, but he's also had some stinkers where he looks like he's an MLS player.
Yeah.
He is a better player than all those MLS players, but he needs to find his role, be managed by Berhalter better, et cetera, et cetera. But he needs to play like he's the second best player on that roster.
You guys thought we weren't going to talk about Pulisic and men's national team on this podcast? Liverpool go to Brighton and Hove Albion and survive 2-1 win. So 3 points there, continue their march towards the league. Alisson gets a red card for a handball way outside the box. I didn't see this.
Pretty nice one.
I didn't see this either. Explain this.
It's like a, you know, through ball. I think it's bouncing through ball to, you know, whatever, Brighton forward on a break. Alisson is out 30 yards from goal, 25 yards from goal, you know, where he would have liked to take this ball with the head before the Brighton guy got to it, but he did not. And the Brighton guy tries to touch it over him, and Alisson goes ahead and puts his hands up and says, nope, I'm going to catch that. And which I just fucking love. I just fucking love the, like, let me just take this red card real quick. Anytime someone takes a red card where you can, exactly what you're saying, walk before that you see the card, I'm in favor.
You know what? It's getting to be about that time of year where we start get some silly red cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want Christmas off. We want a couple days off. Here we go. It's that time of year. So
yeah, they're up 2-0. And it seems like at the time it's like 75th minute or something like that. It seems like a good idea because it's outside the box, right? So you're getting a free kick 25 yards away, you know,
right.
Instead of either a certain goal or, I mean, maybe he can turn around and tackle the guy inside the box and it's going to be a penalty or something crazy. But Brighton go ahead and score from 25 yards away on the free kick and the rest of the game got interesting. But unfortunately for the blue side of Liverpool, Liverpool wins this 2-1.
Did they?
Who's the second choice goalkeeper there?
Say again?
Their first goalkeeper?
No, their second choice goalkeeper.
Adrian.
Mignolet?
No, Adrian.
Oh, Adrian, that's right.
At West Ham. Yeah. Good second choice.
Alisson, has had some games off this year too. So yeah. Adrian is definitely
He's been good.
He's been really good.
I think that this win today officially this is Liverpool's longest unbeaten streak currently.
Longest ever.
So, and they keep getting 3 points. Do we have a points record in the season?
I've tried to make that bet with you last week. I'll make that.
I think
bet
we
again.
Did, didn't we?
Oh, we got it.
I think
points
we
record.
Did.
Points record. That's what you want. Points record.
I think we did. Yeah, yeah.
Oof. Send me the socks now, baby. My toes are cold in the shed. I could use 2 pair. But yeah. That's craziness. They're not going to get the points record. But this is a really good team. This Liverpool team has been good for 2-3 years. Like, they're really good.
They are really good. They don't lose.
They don't lose. They're really fucking good. VVD, 2 goals in this game.
Yep.
That's where their goals came from. Their goals can come from anywhere. Obviously, that front three is nasty. They're the best outside backs in the world. Their center back has scored the goals in this game. Like, front to back, they're great.
Well, and is also a rock, not just offensively, but he alone came in and shored up that defense from a couple of years ago that was their weak spot.
He makes Dejan Lovren look like a good player week in, week out.
Unbelievable. So that's that. We are potting on Saturday night, in case you haven't worked that out yet, so we don't know the Sunday results. Anyone want to make some terrible predictions that will be proven untrue in 12 hours?
I'd rather not. Let's see. Here's a prediction. Ole is fired by Monday and Pochettino hired on Tuesday.
Yes. A loss to Villa would probably just about do it.
Oh my God, that'd be so good. What time are we? Can we just like work out our schedules right now when the emergency pod's going to be for that one?
Leicester, Everton.
That's
not as interesting as it sounds, is it?
Just us losing to Braj again, man.
Yeah, that's exactly before. What that's going to be.
Oh, God.
3-1. 3-1.
Yeah, probably about
that's
right.
That's my prediction, 3-1.
Right. Yeah. Jamie Vardy definitely scores in that game. There's no way, Jamie. Like, Kevin, if you're listening, get that bet in.
We had Champions League last midweek. The groups are starting to take shape. I think there's another game or two.
There's one more week. One more.
December, one more group stage game.
Yeah, December 10th-ish. So I don't know if it's 10th and 11th or 9th and 10th. But
yeah, but like 6 teams are already qualified. So
yep.
In Group A, PSG and Madrid will be through. Anything surprising there? I mean, these are two heavyweight European teams, but you know, neither really look amazing this year.
Yeah, we had some hope after the first couple of bad results that Madrid wouldn't get through, but too bad.
Group B, Bayern and Spurs are through, or
they are
driver's seats.
Yep. Spurs are through.
That's it.
Yep.
Excellent. Group C, City and Shakhtar.
City's
through, and then
It's City and one of Shakhtar, Zagreb or Atalanta, but like I don't know. I don't know if anyone has a favorite from those. It's City and somebody who will be beaten in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah. Group D, Juve is through. Atleti or Bayer Leverkusen in Group D, still in position to go through. It'd be a little surprising if Atletico Madrid didn't get through. They've been
Yeah,
great in the Champions League over the last 10 years.
Yeah,
they're actually they're not looking that great this year, both in the league and obviously in Champions League. If they're maybe not going through a little bit, I think have lost their identity under Simeone, bringing in what's his name, João Felix, trying to be a little bit more attacking. Maybe certainly have lost a lot of the guys who kind of made that system work, and maybe have to remake the system or reimagine it in some way. Going through a little dip.
Group E, probably the most interesting one. Nobody's for sure. Liverpool, Napoli, and Red Bull Salzburg, who have Jesse March as their manager.
Ooh, hey, Arsenal. Give him a call.
I mean,
that doesn't Would he really take that job? He has a Champions League job right now. Are you kidding me?
I mean,
yeah.
Listen,
yeah,
he could have the Champions League job, or he could, you know, come manage a team for a lot of money. And
Dan's got that right.
You know,
yeah, Dan's doing maybe, the Johnny Manziel money sign.
Yeah, maybe you know, teams. Win a couple of Europa League championships, because that's the direction that Arsenal is going anyway. So,
also, yeah. They just blow people out of the. I mean, I don't hate that for Arsenal in terms of the way that you'd like to see Arsenal play. If you're I don't know, whatever, neutral and historical Arsenal perspective, whatever. I don't know. Jesse March. Unproven, definitely, but not terrible. Anyway, probably Liverpool and Napoli go through on this. Salzburg need, like, a huge result. They need some points, but they're not out of it. December 10th, they host Liverpool. If they got a win there, this group would get very interesting.
Yeah, that would be... And it's like... To me, that's like such a tasty game because it's at Salzburg, right? Like if it's at Liverpool, you're like, all right, Liverpool are going to win this, no, whatever. But at Salzburg, you got to give them a chance. Is it less than 50%? Yes, but all you need is a home win. But it's Liverpool coming, like, and then the game at Anfield. I can't remember how.
Yeah,
this
that's what I was
going to
say. Yeah,
but it was like
4-3. They were
4-3.
Did they come back?
Yeah, it was.
Or something
crazy, like, crazy game.
Yeah, it was wild. Yeah.
So we can get something like that with both teams' survival on the line. Oh, man, that'd be phenomenal.
Group F, Barca is through, will be joined by either Inter or Dortmund. Do you guys have a preference between Inter and Dortmund?
I'm going to say Dortmund because all of Italy is so racist right now that I don't want to watch
that. That's not a bad shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But speaking of Inter, the Lukaku had a really good game, but his pass, he had an assist in this game. It was a left outside of the boot right to somebody. I can't remember who scored it. Right
so
on
nice.
His foot. It
Martinez.
Was so Oh my goodness, it was such a great pass.
That's what I thought about this game
class.
From Lukaku, is that he had that class pass that was like so nice. And he had one earlier where he set up Martinez, where he held up a ball and did a little step over and like made time for Martinez to make this run, where he was just a different player. Like he was a big, burly center forward. He was Andy Carroll, whatever.
Yeah.
And then on the other one, he was, I don't know, whoever's making that pass, fucking Iniesta or something like that. Like,
sure, yeah.
The talent this man has is unreal.
Right.
Sometimes when he plays at the top of his game, the diversity of talent he has is just sick.
Yeah.
And he can take over a game. He took over this game.
He really did.
And, I mean, yes, yeah, it's Slavia Prague. It's not like he did it against whatever Barca or Juve or whatever, but, God, he is a great player on his day. So amazing.
Group G, RB Leipzig. So the other Red Bull team is through. Tyler Adams has been injured all year. What's his deal, prognosis?
He's back in training. He's back
in
training
this Mike.
Week. Yeah. But I think we can assume that he'll be there for the knockouts, but I think he's like maybe a week out from playing
still
games.
All right. So Leipzig are through. They'll be joined by either Zenit St. Petersburg or Lyon. Any preferences there? Lyon probably better for the anti-racist.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to take the Palmer tactic here and be like,
yep.
I'm not sure I know many players on either of those teams. So I'll take the non-racists. And less racist.
My bad. Group H, Ajax, Valencia, and Chelsea, all still with everything to play for. Ajax and Chelsea are the home teams on the last day, so puts Valencia in a tough spot. Anyone want to make predictions there?
I'm going to say Chelsea and Ajax go through.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Take the home teams, yeah.
Take the home teams.
Did anyone watch the Chelsea-Valencia game, by the way?
No.
This was a great game. This was just a really up and down. I think it finished 2-2. Valencia had a shot cross goal, which was, kind of the definition of did he mean it?
Yeah, the last goal.
Yeah.
The keeper was asking that after it goes in. He was dumbfounded.
And you know, there was even a penalty save in this game. It was a really great game. So nice little showcase.
Pulisic had a goal in that one.
Yes, he did.
The winner, in fact, in the end. It was the second goal, wasn't it?
It would have been the winner. They drew 2-2, but it was
That's right. Yeah. Pulisic has now scored 3 goals in the Champions League, which is the most all time by an American.
Second most.
Oh, I see. Second most. Who has 4? That's a big question.
Who has the 4th most Champions League goals?
No, who has the most?
Oh, the most with 4.
Oh, who has 4?
An American.
Champions League? Oh, no. You're saying DeMarcus Beasley?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why can't I think of his name? He's now commenting on the TNT.
Marisa Du?
Yeah. That's my guess.
Interesting.
It's DeMarcus Beasley.
Yeah. That's the tiebreaker from the warm-up.
There you go. You have to wait all the way to the end for the penalty kicks.
Yeah.
It's your flu pod.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, that's there you go with the American soccer fans don't realize how good they have it.
Right. I mean, come off it.
He's got 3 Champions League goals. He's one behind the most ever, and he's, what, 21? Yeah.
Come on. And he's already got the most Champions League appearances of anybody or something.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Yep.
Do we have any predictions? What is his career goal total going to be? Does he top off at 3?
I mean, his arc for Chelsea is astronomical. He was in the beginning of the group stage. He wasn't even in the 18. Now he's scoring. By the by the final, he'll be fucking messy. I'll be scoring 3 or 4 a game.
You can't predict.
Yeah, in all seriousness.
He could be Arjen Robben, or he could be that other Chelsea guy that got into cocaine and like was last seen in Albania getting picked up by the mafia or something. What's that guy's name?
Brian Fernandez?
Not Mutu? Adrian Mutu.
Wow. I don't know. Really? Yeah. That's
no?
Dark? No? I think that's on dark Twitter.
Mutu, you guys stall. I'm going to look up Mutu and see if he has any Champions League goals for Chelsea.
But we have what to watch for this week?
What to watch for Adrian Mutu in your neighborhood. Make sure he's not coming in your house. In all seriousness, I think Christian Pulisic, I think his peak is somewhere below Arjen Robben. I think his peak is not
somewhere between Arjen Robben and Adrian Mutu.
I think that's a little bit true though, right? Like I think his peak is never getting in the top 3 of the Ballon d'Or or anything like that, but I'm trying to think of a good a player who's like this level. But
Adrian Mutu had 7 continental appearances and 1 goal in 2003, 2004 for Chelsea. And then got heavily into drugs.
Damn. You just know your 2003, 2004 Chelsea roster. There you go. I mean, I think Pulisic, trying to think of a good player who'd be this level. I mean, obviously he's not playing the same position, but, Romelu Lukaku.
Yeah.
Like he's really good. but he's not the best. He's not. Oh, world class best 11. Let me put him in there right away. I don't know, Edson Cavani, like another player like that, or Higuain, or these kind of guys who are like, yeah, these are really, really great players. Like, it's great that the U.S. has one of these guys who's going to be in the top 40 players in the world for a 5 or 10 year stretch. But he's never going to be peaking at a top 5 player in the world.
Yeah. But that kid that plays in the Danish Superliga, that he's scored this top, weekend, that's 16.
Top 50,000 player in the world for sure.
I can't believe you guys have never heard of Adrian Mutu.
I've heard of him, but I didn't know he got into drugs and like, I don't know. Yeah. Just a don't guy I've heard story. Of, you know what I mean? Like, there's a million guys I've heard of.
Name them. Go. Start.
Billy Sharp. Matt Phillips.
These are guys I've heard of. I have no opinions on Pulisic's ceiling because I was just reading about Adrian Mutu on Wikipedia and not really paying attention.
Do you think he'll ever get in the top, like voting top 5, top finalists or whatever of a Ballon d'Or?
Ooh.
No, but I think he'll spend most of his career playing Champions League, like scoring Champions League goals.
Yeah, that's basically, I agree with you. Yeah. He'll be a contributor to good teams in Europe for 10 plus years.
Right, right.
Which, how many Americans can you say that about?
Zero.
Yeah. One.
One?
One?
Ooh. Oh, you said 10 plus years?
Yeah.
Never mind. Yeah. Zero.
Yeah. Who are you thinking of?
Dempsey.
Yeah, I mean, good teams. I also would be like, how many good teams did he play for?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We good?
Can we go to bed?
I'm trying, man. I'm trying. I got to go cut a Christmas tree in the morning. I need some sleep.
Yeah. Get your sleep.
All right, boys. Thanks, Cliff.
Thanks, Cliff.
Thanks, Cliff.
I have to say, I was pretty pleased with my performance last week on the pod, so I'm really going to not have a good performance this week. I'm just glad I didn't have to participate in a warm-up game.
Oh, you're going to get you today, big boy.
I know.